This is your end. The Drama Show Breakdown.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's Corner. I'm Julia, and with me this week are Leela.
Hello.
Oren.
Hi.
And Ed.
Hello.
Yeah, it's been another good week for creative writing.
We had our
sci-fi lit circle on
Always
Wednesday.
Always a good one.
And yeah, it was a lot of fun. Not quite as terrifying as it could potentially have been, which was nice. We had some interesting artwork by Oren, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
It's okay.
Did you want to forget?
It's haunted my nightmares, so has to haunt yours too.
Wasn't that bad?
It was a little bit scary.
For clarity, I drew like a 10-foot tall baby monster thing with like ant exoskeleton and
wow.
some kind of if creepy razor wings.
So if the baby's 10-foot tall, how big's like the adult?
I didn't work that one out.
Just to clarify, the task was draw like an alien species or make one, and Oren chose the artistic route,
nice.
Which traumatised us all, but it was worth it.
Look at myself.
Yeah, so we've got four good pieces for you guys this week, and we're just going to kick straight off with Leela.
Okay, so I have recently rediscovered and edited a letter that I wrote to myself when I was 15, and it was addressed to my 10-year-old self. And obviously now I'm 19, so some of the things I don't actually remember doing or remember saying anymore, but it was still very interesting to read, because it's like when you're very detached from yourself and you think this is like a different person's writing this, but
yeah.
I did spend a long time editing it though, so this is a letter to a 10-year-old. Dearest 2006, you're going to go off to senior school soon. Well done. I know you tend to prefer playing with people you know, but they might not be there next year, so you need to make a new friend. Remember to offer snacks to the girl with the black hair. You'll laugh at her about it in later life when you realise that that was how you became friends. A simple gesture can lead to a lifelong friendship. And when you get a bit down later on because of what one person is telling you to do, don't make the same mistake I did and listen to what she tells you to do to make yourself better. Don't cut off your hair. You'll regret that because it was pretty. And when she tells you that everyone hates you, you mustn't believe her, because it will only ever be her that has a problem with you. She won't be there forever, so she will soon stop being the problem, even if the memories linger. If you want to talk to someone when you start growing up, try looking for comfort where you least expect it. You'll meet some incredible people that way, and just talking to them will brighten your life. Make sure to look out for yourself as well as others. Keep them dear, though, because they brought you back up, so you should make every effort for them too. And most importantly, as more responsibilities start piling onto your shoulders, don't be scared of growing up. Sure, it's daunting, but believe me when I say your mind will grow to accommodate all of the things you need to know later in life. Don't take romance seriously until you know you can handle the solemnity of commitment. But when the boy with the ginger hair crosses you, do not even hesitate to go with your gut reaction of pushing him backwards down the stairs. Believe me, he needs it. Yours sincerely, 2012.
Wow.
Lovely. Although I'm slightly concerned with why you're pushing people downstairs.
Well, he wasn't a nice person.
Are they literal stairs or figurative stairs?
Well, when I was, I can't remember how old I was, it was somewhere between, I was like 12 or 13, but he was not a very nice person, and I ended up making him stop bothering me by just pushing him, and I didn't realise how near to the staircase we were, and that was the thing that happened, but it sorted everything out, and he wasn't injured, so it was fine.
Hooray!
Fair enough.
I'm not condoning violence, I wouldn't do it if I was in the same position today, so don't follow my example, it's fine.
It was a happy accident, yeah.
It's a happy accident.
whatever works for you, Leela.
Okay.
Brilliant. No, I really like that. It does make you think about what you'd say to your own, like, 10-year-old self.
I mean, I would definitely say some different things. Like, I remember reading it when I first rediscovered it, and it's like, don't be scared of growing up. You will accommodate these thoughts. And it's like, well, no, we have no idea what we're doing when we grow up. It's fine.
Even less of an idea, if anything.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is no one knows what they're doing, so we're all just ambling around together.
Oh, I was quite keen to preserve the arrogance of the 15-year-old who thought she was already growing up. It's fine. So you are nowhere near it. Wait till you get to about 70, it's fine.
Oh, no, I really like that. Thank you. Okay, so our next piece is coming from Ed, who is our guest member today.
Hello. Anyway,
good to meet you, of course.
Yeah, this is... it doesn't actually have a name, this particular piece. It's just a sort of time travel piece that I think I actually came up with in the sci-fi lit circle last year. But anyway, they met in the pub, always the same pub, same year, same day. Same time, but they varied the month for the hell of it. Even time travellers get bored. And it's gone to sleep. Oops. The first time this occurred, Alistair Plumpington Spencer had been, in his own words, utterly bamboozled upon finding himself deposited in the 1980s. Not at least because he'd been contemplating what that decade would be like, but also because his grandson, Tarquin Spencer, was there. Tarquin, on the other hand, was somewhat less surprised, time travel being more prevalent in the 2011. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I know, or indeed they know, how these two particular individuals ended up in the country pub in the 1980s. As Tarquin and Alistair, well, the former, in the nicest possible way, is a bit of an idiot, and the latter from 1903. What is important, however, that they proved accurately able to ascertain that they were related, and that Tarquin was from 108 years later than his grandfather. We should brush over, however, the totally platonic flirting at the bar that led to the meeting, because they're both refined aristocratic gents of leisure, and that's just what they do, even with family. Thus, in 1982, in a small pub called the Sour Lion, somewhere in Derbyshire, the greatest conspiracy of humankind was created. The second greatest, that of withholding stable time travel from the wider world, was also created, but that gets often overshadowed by the profit-driven manipulation of over a century of human history, and besides, they didn't really know how it worked. Alistair sat in the corner booth with the Sour Lion. It was, as ever, the 11th day of the month, and for this particular visit to 1982, the month in question was July, and from the pub, wireless churned out the coverage of Italy versus West Germany. West Germany, thought Alistair, idly. What the devil happened to the old Kaiser? His train of thought was interrupted by his grandson. Ally, old chap, how are you? You know, not too bad, young whippersnapper. Quite spiffing, actually, just pondering on West Germany. How the bally hell did that happen? Tarquin sat down across the booth. Oh, bother, we are going to have to try and fix that somehow. And that's it.
Ooh. It's good because I don't think we've had a time travel piece. We've had a few sci-fi pieces this year, but I don't think we've actually had like a time travel. Yeah. I enjoyed that, yeah. It was quite nice and quaint and stuff. It was good.
Yeah, no, I came up with it and then not too long afterwards realised that the setup was going to have to involve me somehow working out how these two people are going to fix two world wars and the Cold War and everything
else.
Is it
that big of a story?
So it might not quite get finished.
That's but a lot of pressure for two people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But wow. Anyway.
One war each, you know. Just, they can sort it out amongst themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Maybe get a third person in, you know, just to make things a bit smoother, a bit easier. Yeah.
They can sort out the Cold War.
Yeah.
That's really good. I really like that. I remember last year's sci-fi session. It was good. Yeah. I can't remember what we did, but if stuff like that came out of it, so it must have been a good session.
Insane things.
I enjoy the way you write British accents, like old-fashioned ones. Spiffing.
Mm. I like the Derbyshire as well. That made me happy.
Yeah.
Not enough is set in what's called set in Derbyshire.
So I don't know why it's set in Derbyshire, but it is.
Is it there just because that's where like time stops? Probably. No offense.
You said that, not me.
I live in Derbyshire. You should be careful what you say.
Do you think that's quite a nice assumption of Derbyshire? Or?
That's where time stops.
Well, I'm from Lincolnshire. That's even worse. Time's not began there.
Fair.
So after this song by GMT, we'll have more pieces from the Creative Writing Society, as well as Nottingham Youth Theatre coming up at 4, and also Improv Society. But keep here with The Drama Show. Welcome back to The Drama Show. It's 3:15 and we're still with the Creative Writing Society and with two more pieces. Julia?
We do. This piece is one of mine. It was written, as always, last night. but it was kind of inspired because I feel like winter's just happened all of a sudden.
Yes, it's
like,
sprung on us, hasn't it?
Exactly.
Definitely.
And just with the winds and the cold and the snow, I just kind
what
of thought...
Snow? What?
Yeah, I know. Apparently there was snow, yeah.
It was mostly, like, in Stoke, that kind of area, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
No, but we had it as well.
Nottingham
someone
did have a bit of it. Exactly.
Yeah. It was at, like, 3 in the morning.
Oh, that's why.
Oh, yeah, someone who was still awake then. It's fine.
Yeah.
No, it's just more someone I follow on Twitter was just like, it's snowing on my chips. It was, you know, beautiful and poetic. So, yeah, that is what has inspired this titleless piece. Because I really need to work on writing titles. One day. Autumn disappeared overnight. The crisp chill of November mornings began to spread across the day, causing people to dig out the gloves and scarves they'd hoped they could do without for a few more weeks. Winter announced itself with all the subtlety of a stampede. The wind didn't just howl, it screamed as it wrapped around people with its cold embrace, letting everyone know that the calmness of autumn had come to an end. The wind brought with it a sharp iciness and a scattering of snow which hinted at things to come now that the year was entering its last weeks. The decorations in shop windows, which had seemed so out of place only a few days before, suddenly suited the weather. As night slipped across the sky by 5 o'clock, the sparkling lights were looked at with joy rather than derision. The arrival of winter removed the bitterness towards the jaunty displays in town, as people finally accepted the nearness of Christmas. Autumn took its bow quietly, silently, the warm beauty of golden leaves fading as it gave way to the stark silhouettes of empty branches against an ice-blue sky. Winter had arrived. About time, too.
Oh, that was really nice.
It was great. I like the winter's like wrapping around us, or like
screaming, not howling.
Yeah,
that's just really beautiful.
I just thought after what was it, Storm Barney?
Storm Barney. Oh my God! Walking back, and that was horrendous. God, he's picking up every single particle that existed on the street and slamming it into your face, and God, the leaves as well whipping away. It was awful.
Yeah, I walked out to go to university, and all our bins had just like fallen on their sides next to the neighbour's gate, and
our shed was utterly destroyed. It was ripped open and then thrown across the garden.
Oh no!
And we knew it hadn't just been pushed across the garden, because between the place where it used to be and the place where it ended up, the grass was intact. So it's been lifted up full body and thrown.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very exciting. We took loads of pictures.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's clearly what you do when your shed gets destroyed.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely tweet about it.
Snapchat
that shed. So yeah, but everyone is like now grabbing hats and gloves and scarves. It's like, where is it? Where are my stuff? And then it's like, yeah, God, it's here. It's here.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Okay, and Oren is going to read our next piece.
Okay, yeah, so if you've been following, I've been writing a few pieces like in the same world, like with characters like TK, Lily, Marcus, right? This is another one, but at a later point, so they're not on a road trip this time. Also, I'm not going to do an American accent because that was embarrassing the first time. So, yeah, definitely not. Okay. Ah, it's you. Hi. So, we're sitting on the carpeted floor in the living room, chewing the fat, as the cool kids say. A text message from her and 2 calendar reminders set my phone ablaze with dormant energy. I look forward to seeing you soon, ; XX, it reads. What a lovely girl. I hope I don't mess things up. I stand, hips cracking in the process, lightheaded and giddy. What? TK asks, reading Foucault while Alex recounts a story about one of Lee's. His best friend's conquests. I charge upstairs, sprinting into my room, puffing through the pain in my lungs. I make a number of trades. T-shirt for a button-down. Hoodie for a grey tweed blazer, trainer for some black polished shoes. I praise my appearance in the mirror and then walk downstairs, for I'm now a sophisticated demigent who does not charge his way through life. Whoa. Tiki is on his feet, eyes narrowed. Alex's eyes are cloudy with confusion. Conversation has been smothered to a jerky halt. Tiki's eyes wander over me as he stalks around me, his prey. You've got a dig, Marcus. His voice is just a hiss above a whisper. You don't know that, I retort. You never wear these kind of clothes unless something capital B, big, is going to happen. Everything, either there's a big dinner with some people I don't care about, or you've got a date. I smirk and stare him down. His dark eyes look at me with a mix of anger and curiosity. Who? I glance at Alex, whose general lethargy has dissolved, full attention on his present moment. I snap my eyes shut and exhale, head tilted to the ceiling. X. I didn't ask for her chromosomes for the love of... And don't get sassy with me. You're not Lily. I don't appreciate that. Maybe I don't care what you appreciate. He widens his eyes. Romantic attraction emboldens you. Back off, you pretentious punk. We both laugh, and he claps me on the shoulder, hugging me with one arm. Jenna, I utter after a while. TK has leapt back, is grinning. The Canadianese girl. TK is intrigued because he found a Japanese woman in the UK, a rarity outside of his family, he said. The only downside was that she was Canadian. Because it's American, of course. I happen to find that endearing. Huh. I like your taste. Dude, don't speak like that. Why? It's exactly how we say things. Men have taste in women, or men, and vice versa. It's a crude saying, true. Burgers, candy, and all have taste. But that's what we say in our dating vernacular. All right, whatever. It's just not what I say. Defying convention. Marcus Osho, everyone. He folds his arm and nods, bringing Alex in for a whispering verdict. That blazer really brings out your dark skin, he eventually says. Will you shut your stupid mouth? I'm laughing a bit, however. I'm ringing, and so I answer. Yo. Hi, Marcus. Lily's voice drips with suggestion. I can feel it soaking my ears.
Elizabeth, I announced to the room. Lily, don't make me catch you saying that again. Whatever. You left for your date yet? No. Tika told me back as usual. What would you have done if I had, or was already on the date? Never mind, TK, she sighs, pointedly ignoring my questions. Actually, put me on with him. I give TK the look, and the group's big sister stops talking to him. I turn my attention to Alex. I'm happy for you, mate, he grins. Thanks, Alex. How you feeling? Nervous, not gonna lie. I rub my hands together and bounce on the spot. I would be too. He stops and considers, and we both look at TK, who's leaning on the shelf above the old fireplace. The mirror reveals that his face has become ashen with a shame that only Lily seems to be able to access. I wonder idly how many times he's tried to sleep with her. I know one time, in the joyful haze of alcohol at the start of year 12, they had a bit of a thing, a tongue-battling, wandering hands kind of thing. I don't know if that dark tree bore fruit. I hope it didn't. Doesn't. Some things that seem good on paper don't work so well in practice. A dread spike paralyzes me. What if it's the case with me and Jen? I excel, heart beating at the rate of 1 light-year per second. Oh. Alex's eyes come alight with realization. I'm still swimming in the pool of fear. Leah's out too. I focus on the conversation, not my despair. What's she doing? It's date night, clearly. No, I mean, with her girlfriend. Leah's a girlfriend. I try to keep my voice from sounding too incredulous. Yeah, Kara. Kara? She likes girls? Since when? Since Leah. He's still straight-faced. Ah. Huh. She's had that way with people, huh? It's like I click my fingers, trying to access the memory in my mind palace. What's his name? Dennis. I clap, making Alex jump. Yes! I didn't even think of boys like that before him. But I was drawn to him. He's a very good kisser. Excellent kisser. You know, he's like my top kisses I can find. Nah, you're messing with me. No, and I've kissed a lot of people and a bit of a mouth, you know. Don't buy into that idea. Don't buy in, Marcus. It's 2012 now, not 1923. Aw, you sweetheart. I laugh, elbowing him with affection. Thank you. Welcome to modernity, Miss Osho. Here, interracial marriage is no longer such a big taboo. Why the hell would you go and ruin it? Oh, gosh. My eyes wander across to TK, whose body language is contorting with the kind of rage one can feel from being attracted to someone. Not a violent outward rage, but rather one that would end in furious slapping makeup intercourse. Now, this is, of course, supposing that we're dating, which I have good authority to announce. They're not, I hope. Seriously, they better not be. He hands me the phone, eventually, and does not look me in the eye. What did you do? I ask Lily, genuinely concerned. TK sits in the armchair, Fuko abandoned for his broody. Go on your date, she orders before hanging up. The girl is cute and interesting, the coffee warm and delicious, the surroundings non-existent. Everyone else is a drone cackling and computing in the background. But they may as well not be there, for I'm enthralled. She's an engaging storytelling, and telling me about her voyage from Canada to the UK. It was on a boat. Sorry. It was on a boat, charging through feral waves in the heat of a dark storm not forecast. She was but a child, frightened of the mighty beast, the sea. I'm looking into her expressive eyes, windows into the time where her story began. I'm not doing so to give off the illusion of interest. I can actually only look in her eyes. Eye contact is usually so intense for me, but I can stomach the butterflies, give them a home when I look into her eyes. And so here I am at your school in the UK, she finishes. She exhales and pulls her lips into a smile, sipping from a bone-white coffee cup. I'm shaking, I find. Wow, I sip to stop myself from shaking. That was... You're an incredible storyteller. Thank you, she giggles, tipping her cup at me. A shape emerges to my right, making me in the coffee jump. Leah, all 6 foot, black hair, and mischievous green eyes of her approaches. Kara is at her side, smile shy. Ah, Leah, you scared the life out of me and my coffee. Jenna chuckles and her eyes are locked on Leah, hands tucked under her chin, an intense look in her eye. Ah, Jen, Leah, Jen. I know her, Leah utters. Oh, I say. Oh, I think. We've met before, Jen confirms. How are you? I'm good, thanks, you. Great, I'm having fun with Marcus. She over gestures that I can look on. I can only look on, baffled. Awesome. Well, I'm going to leave you two on your date, and me and Kara will leave. Nice seeing you, Marcus. She extends her wingspan for an embrace, and I tuck an arm around her back, my head on her chest. She curls her head around to my free, non-crushed ear and whispers, she's a great kisser. When she pulls away, she adds, oh, right, me and Lil will think of assembling the Empire next week for the usual. Sounds good. Bowling in a film? I'll look to Jen to see if she wants to tag along. You know it. She looks around and grins, folding some hair behind her heavily pierced ears. The dangling ones on her lobes jangle as she shakes her head. What, both me and Jen urge. We share a puzzled look. Well, we could do it now. Why now? We're busy. I signal to the four of us. Yeah, well, that didn't stop TK and Alex from following you. She knocks through a space behind me. I swerve around and I'm aghast. Tigger hides his face and turns back to Alex, who's hiding behind a copy of The Guardian. I groan and turn back. Lily and Amelia are circling the box too. Leah gestures to the outside and the girls duck out of sight. It's like out of a film or book or something, Jen asks. Oh, man. The L's and the A's assemble, I mutter. Sorry, Jen asks. The girls have L's, Lily, Amelia, and Leah. The boys have A's in common. Anthony, Marcus, Alex. In other words, my idiot friends. I rub my face in my hand. Yeah, we're a weird bunch. Leah shrugs.
That was brilliant. I really like that.
Thank you.
It sounded so genuine. Like, I could imagine them actually being friends, you know? I'm not saying that very well.
No, so I didn't get what you mean. Thank
it,
you.
It sounded real.
Yeah.
Let us know if you write more.
Okay. Yeah, no, I do intend to do this next, so, yeah.
No, we've had it over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? It's really nice to, like, serialise it like that. Yeah. So, we have one more piece from Creative Writing Society after this. We've got Dog Days Are Over, Florence and the Machine, but stick around for Creative Writing Society to finish off their last piece, as well as Nottingham Youth Theatre and the Improv Society.
Happiness hit her like a train on a track, coming towards her.
Welcome back to The Drama Show here on URN. It's 29 minutes to 4, and I'm Joe. And we're going back to Julia for the final piece with the Creative Writing Center.
Hi, yes, this last piece has been written by Danny, our web monkey. She can't be here on the radio this week, but Leela is going to be reading her piece out.
Okay, this is called The Winter Chill. Winter seemed to arrive slowly that year. Autumn's mildness lingered for much longer than usual. The icy blast hit her one morning, crisp and fresh, and she felt the familiar exhilaration building up inside of her. Her favourite season had returned. Extra layers would be needed now, there was no doubt about that. She'd been wearing her coat since October, refusing to take any chances in fear of catching a cold. But now it was time for bigger jumpers, thicker scarves, and woolly hats. It was the time for her to slip her hand comfortably into his as they walked together, exchanging pleasant nothings and a strange banter that only they could appreciate, accompanied with that extra physical contact to help them suffer the biting cold. Whilst she disliked the chill on her neck, the thought of warm soups, spicy chili and soothing tea when she got home made her heart leap in delight. Winter was just so cosy when you're inside. Warm winter leggings and thick fluffy socks. Blankets and hoodies with a good book in bed. God, she'd been craving that since August, when the summer heat had started to die out and the nights were slowly getting longer, the true sign that autumn was approaching. But autumn was gone now. It had resigned itself to make way for winter, for Christmas and New Year, when she could finally let this wretched year go. It had been a long and difficult one, and she was excited for what the new year would bring. Winter symbolised the end, and whilst others hated it for its coldness and darkness, she loved it, because it meant that new beginnings with good things would come.
It was lovely.
That was really nice.
It was very poetic. I loved it.
And I think that's all we have time for this week.
But once again, it has been an amazing week of lovely, varied content. Like, we've got time travel in there for the first time this year. We've got the brilliant, you know, the winter. Winter is now here. We've summed that up really nicely. And of course, the continue of your piece. Tell me more about this, actually. Is it because you were talking about it? It's not part of the novel writing that's
been
going on.
Part of NaNoWriMo. Like, it's something I do, like, when it's come to, like, the show, to write for the show. I start the story, like, ages ago, in 2011, and, like, I just unhappy with it constantly, so I kept rewriting it over the years, and then I left it aside, and then I started slowly getting ideas, and so, like, I've been writing little bits of it. So, after November, I'm gonna really get stuck in. I think I'm gonna be happy with this one.
Brilliant. So, please remind us what is happening throughout the week with the Society.
Well, we have our weekly Lit Circles on Wednesdays, 7 till 9 p.m. in Trent B38A. And this week our theme is crime. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That's always really good. And as there's only a couple weeks left of NaNo, if you want to dedicate a few hours of your week to just writing and trying to catch up on the word count, our free writing sessions on Thursdays are the perfect opportunity. Again, 7 till 9 p.m. Hallward Library in room 104.
Oh, bearing in mind that library is 24 hours now, so we can stay just a bit longer than that if you want to.
Drop in and drop out whenever you want.
Yes, definitely.
And we will see you next week on Sunday for the radio again.
Fantastic. So Yeah, thank you so much from the Creative Writing Society again. They will be here next week. But we have this week's Nottingham Youth Theatre play coming in, talking about the consequences and problems they've faced, as well as all the good stuff like that, with Anne Frank after this.
This is URN, the Drama Show Breakdown.